Welcome to God's Acre on the Go, a worship podcast of the Congregational Church of New Canaan in New Canaan, Connecticut. To learn about the life of our church, our in-person ministries, and the virtual connections and offerings available, please visit us at www.godsacre.org. Now, wherever you are, wherever you are going, we welcome you to worship.
Church family, good morning. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to God's Acre on the Go, wherever you happen to be this summer, wherever you're traveling, wherever you're vacationing. We're so grateful to have you tuning in with us this morning. And so I invite you to prepare your hearts and minds for the word that will be offered to you this morning as we listen to our morning's anthem.
Over my head, I hear music in the air. Over my head, I hear music in the air. Over my head, I hear music in the air. There must be a God somewhere. Over my head I hear singing in the air. Over my head I hear singing in the air. Over my head I hear singing in the air. There must be a God somewhere. Over my head I hear laughter in the air. Over my head I hear laughter in the air. There must be a God somewhere. Over my head I see Jesus in the air. Over my head I see Jesus in the air. Over my
scripture this morning is Romans 8:18 through 27. I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory about to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the children of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not of its own will, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its enslavement to decay and will obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning together as it suffers together the pains of labor. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly while we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. For in hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what one already sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought. But that very Spirit intercedes with groanings too deep for words. And God, who searches hearts, knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Hope, according to Paul in 1 Corinthians, along with faith and love, form the triad of Christian virtues. We talk about faith and love quite a lot, but we don't as often talk about hope. And I wonder if that's because we haven't really understood its significance. So what is this hope that rates up there with faith and love? The Oxford Dictionary's first definition of hope is a feeling of expectation and desire for a certain thing to happen. And they give what I found quite an odd example of usage. He looked through her belongings in the hope of finding some information. Hopefully, he's a detective. This is not the sort of hope we will be focusing on. Further on, some descriptions of what start to sound more like biblical hope are a person or thing that may help or save someone, or grounds for believing something good will happen. And interestingly, an archaic meaning is a feeling of trust. In the Greek versions of the Bible, elpizo, to hope, happens in the present, in expectation of the future, and is always decidedly positive, as opposed to the secular use at this time, which anticipated the future, both good and bad. There are a few Hebrew words in our Old Testament that translate to the Greek elpizo, to hope, also to endure, and like the Oxford Archaic definition, to trust. Hope is often linked to optimism, but when we are optimistic something may happen, it is usually because we have some facts or information that make that occurrence likely. Hope, in Paul's estimation, is in something unseen, unknowable. There is a paradoxical component to hope. When there are not facts or information that can motivate optimism, things may appear hopeless. But in fact, hope is what you have left. It's what you hold on to, or what holds on to you. Renowned psychologist Barbara Friedrichsen notes that hope is a positive and deeply felt neurochemical stance toward our current circumstances, and compares it with the negativity of fear. Fear closes us down, seeps into our relationships, and even gets into our very bones, affecting our health. No wonder "fear not" is one of the most repeated phrases in the Bible. Hope, on the other hand, opens us. It broadens our view. Hope unleashes creativity. It is the world of possibilities, the expectation of positive change. Hope motivates us to use our capacities to work towards a better future, like it recently motivated a busload of Ukrainian mothers and grandmothers who'd never even been out of the country to venture into enemy territory in search of their kidnapped children. Hope also reduces stress and anxiety. There is even some evidence that suggests an outcome advantage in cancer patients with higher levels of hope. Given how good hope is for us and everything we touch, we should just be hoping up a storm. Why don't we? Well, it's awfully easy to reach a state of hopelessness when your chosen news source reports a laundry list of negative happenings around us. The fallout from COVID, wars in Ukraine, Syria, Yemen, and more, sex trafficking, famine, discrimination, terminal disease. These tragedies happen in the Bible, too. The Israelite community suffers through many of them as God leads them in and out of the wilderness, to the promised land, into exile and home again. The story of the Bible is one of a people seeking God, seeking the kingdom of God, both in heaven and on earth in their challenge-filled daily lives, coming closer, falling away, making mistakes, two steps forward, one step back. Trials and tribulations abound, but are never the last word. I love that saying from the best exotic Marigold Hotel. All will be well in the end. If all is not well, it is not the end. And what we might add from knowing the Bible's big picture is because God is always faithful. God keeps God's promises. God is trustworthy. Therefore, we hope in God, confident that all will be well. And when we don't even know what to hope for, says Paul, the Holy Spirit hopes for us in prayer. If we keep at it, our lives will reflect that. What amazingly good news. It is the good news that Jesus lived into as the ultimate example of hopeful living. Jesus' fully human life reflected a confident hope that God's kingdom will come, regardless of present circumstances, which, you will recall for Jesus, were marginal at best and became increasingly dire. He had no home, was part of an oppressed population, and eventually people were seeking to kill him, which led to his crucifixion. Jesus, though, never lost hope. Jesus' entire life on earth was dedicated to building the hoped-for kingdom of God, not knowing how that would happen, but hoping in God above everything else. His unleashed creativity took the form of teaching, feeding, healing, loving, and praying for guidance. Hope in God was ever in his soul, and it held him through death to resurrection, as it holds us. Emily Dickinson named this beautifully in her famous poem about hope. I'm sure some of you can quote these lines with me. Hope is the thing with feathers that perches in the soul and sings the tune without the words and never stops at all. Friends, God never stops at all. So hope. Live in hope. Always, always choose hope. Amen. Holy Spirit, speak for us what we do not know how to say, so that we are the instruments of the hoped-for kingdom of God, where all is well. In the name of Jesus Christ, we hope and pray. Amen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with kindness and give you peace and hope. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Worship on the Go. To support this podcast and the ministries of our church, please consider making a contribution by clicking the Give button in the top right on our website, www.godsacre.org or within today's email. God bless you and have a wonderful week.